This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today we are reaching back into our archives to share some of our favorite stories with women over 40. Each of these women has started something special, and we wanted to make sure our new listeners didn't miss out on hearing these conversations. Old or new to the podcast, we hope each of these stories inspires you to consider your own possibilities. Enjoy. Pursuing your future doesn't end at 40. In fact, it may mark the beginning of knowing who you are, what you're capable of, and what you really want. But knowing what's next and how to get there can be a challenge, especially when old narratives play on repeat. Liberty Road is here to share stories so that you can consider your possibilities, pursue your purpose, and move into your future with intention. I'm your host, Netta Jones, and we're here to listen, learn, and liberate dreams one episode at a time.
This week, we've got a doctor in the house. We've got Dr. Sandra Lee, and we are so excited to talk to her about her dermal empire. Sandra, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to getting a few tips, not just on business, but on skincare.
Okay.
So we're gonna squeeze you for all it's worth. No pun intended, by the way. So why don't you tell us a little bit about these multiple brands? I don't know if our audience knows that you have several platforms. Tell us a little bit about this empire that you've built.
Well, I think that if you're on social media, it's probably kind of hard to not kind of see some of my videos that are out there, though those pimple popping videos that, that some of you probably detest and some people maybe become obsessed with. And
it's hard not to look.
Yeah, it's hard not to look. And that is really, you know, where this all started. This is, I'm known on social media and on YouTube as Dr. Pimple Popper. I am a board certified dermatologist. I've been in practice for probably, I think about 13, 14 years or so. And it wasn't until a little over 3 years away, 3 years ago that I decided to post my work on social media. And I just really thought that it would be, it's really interesting for people to see, especially with a lot of the beauty sort of things that we see already on and makeup, DIY, that kind of thing, that my stuff was similar. And I thought it would be really interesting for people to see a little window into my world as a dermatologist. It's a very visual field. So I think it's understandable if you post pictures, people will relate to them maybe. And I got some attention, but actually early on, I happened to post a blackhead extraction video, and it got a noticeable increase in interest. I mean, I noticed people were tagging their friends or people were liking it. And I just thought, huh, that's so weird. Yeah. That's a weird thing. I'll just try to do that again. Let me see if that happens again. Yeah. And it happened again. And
a timeout. Do you think it was because people were learning how to properly extract a blackhead? Or do you think it was just the horror of it all? Like, oh my gosh.
People liked it.
Yeah.
Somehow I tapped into something that people really liked and enjoyed, and it just grabbed them and gave them a rush of endorphins something caught their interest. I think that though, as it grew, and part of this is why I think this whole thing grew, is that it actually does get attention from the opposite ends of the spectrum. Some people really love it and become obsessed with it almost, and some people can't stand it. But either way, they tag their friends.
Yeah, and so isn't that the sign of something that's you've really hit a nerve, is when people are on both sides of the spectrum.
I think though too is that's how it grew. I mean, that's how it grew so quickly. But what happened then is when I did that, I then decided, to post a full video on my YouTube channel. I had a YouTube channel that really had mainly my TV appearances I'd been doing for the past 5 years or so. And when I put it on my YouTube channel, all these other recommended videos came up, and they were all blackhead videos. And I thought, what the heck is this? Yeah. Why are there all these other videos on YouTube? Who's watching these videos? And through all that, I actually discovered that there was a subculture of people on the internet that were on Reddit, and they were sharing popping videos, okay? And it was about 50,000 or 70,000 people.
Were you at the time Dr. Pimple Popper?
No, this was before that.
Okay.
So then I happened upon this, and they're all, pictures of people showing they're so proud they have a big pimple on their chin, they're ready to pop, or, they have found a video on the internet of somebody popping somebody's cyst, meanwhile it's in their garage, and there's dogs barking and beer bottles open, and they're using dirty fingernails and paper towels and things like that.
Yeah.
So I just thought, what are these people? They're watching these videos, and I could do this on a daily basis at work. This is what I do. And I could be their queen, I could be their, I could provide videos like this for them. That's, really strange. So I just decided to do that. I said, I'm going to post some videos specifically on popping, because I knew there was more other popping things that we could do, as a surgical dermatologist. And I thought, I didn't know what Reddit really was. I didn't know you were anonymous. But I knew that everybody had a name. So I thought, okay, I'll just think of a name. Let me do Dr. Pimple Popper, and that's really where it all came from. And from there, I think I did that for the first time in October or so of 2014, when it really got, so it was getting big then. I knew something was going on there. But so I kept plugging away, and I think in March, BuzzFeed picked it up, and they made a video, people's reaction to my videos. Right. And that's when my phone, I had the notifications on for Instagram, and I couldn't even get in my phone. It was just worrying. People were liking or joining, I went up 20,000 followers in a couple of hours.
Gosh.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And I thought, this is a thing. This is this
were
is
you
a
trying
thing.
To figure out, so here you are, you have a practice. Mm-hmm. You've been on television as an expert. So you've mastered these two areas that a lot of people as budding businesses are trying to do. You've got the practice and you've got the expertise. You're being recognized as an expert. What do I do with this? Did you know what to do with that?
I think that when I look back, really all of the planets were aligned.
Yeah.
There was a lot of factors that could have really not made this happen. And for example, my being 10 years out of practice, if I was newly, in practice, wouldn't have had the ability, the mental, strength to be able to do this, to post your own work on the internet. Just that knowledge alone. But I think that, what it was is that I sort of saw this was sort of an accident that this happened, but I saw this opportunity and I kind of seized upon it. I mean, that I was working at it. I mean, every day posting something new, just literally throwing another log on the fire to see how it grow. And it's still growing, but it was really it's quite amazing. Part of it is for it to grow this quickly, but also, if you look at some of the specific data, like for my YouTube channel, for example, you know, I may have like 3.7 million subscribers.
You do.
But there are people that have 10 million subscribers and they don't have a billion views. And I have 2 billion views. So it's quite remarkable what's happening. It's these videos are videos
just
that people
watch. Engagement, the importance of
the engagement
not
is
just
big.
The subscribing
and it's because I, you know, it's interesting. I take it you're not a necessary what we call a popaholic per se. Yeah. No. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you know, it is interesting.
A name. It's like the, you know, all the celebrities that have the fan base and that has a name like Katy Perry's Kitty Cats or whatever there. Yeah. Like you have your own, your following has, I love that.
And I think what's interesting is if you ask the people who watch these videos what they like about it, it generally is in the theme of they relax them.
I was following up and I read about that, or maybe it was part of the video, but it was almost this cathartic experience for people that it was taking them out of their day to day. And it was,
it's a bedtime story. They'll watch the same video. If they have a very anxious day, they'll go back to their one like Pops video, their mainstay. They're like, you know, and they'll watch it again. It decreases their anxiety. They say if they're having a panic attack, they watch these videos.
Wow.
I think it's part of my voice too, maybe, because I'm really relaxing for my patients. I try to make sure they're calm, because the thing is, in dermatology, as opposed to other surgeons, the patient is awake. So you need to make sure you're
literally
calm.
In their face.
Yeah. You don't want to act like, you know, oh my gosh, what happened there? Or, you know, you're not going to be like that. Yes. Nothing, never anything like that. Absolutely. So that was, so people like that. And I think for some people too, it gives them a rush. It's sort of like watching a scary movie or riding a roller coaster. You get this like endorphin and it makes you feel good. Essentially, it's making people feel happier. And that's a strange thing, but it works. It's just what it is.
So when this was happening and you knew you needed to seize it, did you know what you were going to do with this audience? Did you know was the goal, I need to somehow convert them into becoming patients in my office? Because that's a national following versus a localized business.
I don't think that's really feasible, though it is shocking that people do travel from, they travel from other continents now to see me for pimple popping. I mean, that's crazy.
That is
but
crazy.
I mean, I wasn't really expecting that. I don't know. I think the motivation was really to prove that I could do it. Like, that's just the way I am. I'm like, you know, if I'm doing something, I want to be the best. I want to do something and make it good. And in fact, I hadn't told people at this point, you know, really before. My husband is a dermatologist, and I didn't really tell him what I was doing
until
a few months in. Yeah, because he knows I'm busy. I like to like do crafts. He actually hates it because then I do all these silly crafts that don't help anyone else. You know, they're like wasting my time, he thinks. So I was doing something. I knew this was something, if it was working, he would actually be behind because it's actually doing something productive for us. And I actually, when I told my father, who's a dermatologist too, he's retired, he thought it was absolutely ridiculous. You know, absolutely
but
ridiculous.
But now he must be what?
Yeah. I mean, when I first told him about, because I told him the first time when I went viral on BuzzFeed, I just told him, you know, I have a viral video. He's like, what? You have a viral video? Yeah. I said, it's on YouTube. He's like, well, what is it? I said, well, it's blackhead extractions. And he was like, what? Are you kidding me? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He said that. And the very next day he went to an Apple store because he was getting a lesson, you know, as a retired guy. And he said, you know, I want to post videos of my fly fishing adventures on a YouTube channel. Like my daughter does this on her YouTube channel. And the girl that was helping him said, oh, I have to show you this new channel that I love, my favorite channel. And it was my channel, which was really kind of, the next day he came to me and he put his hands on my shoulders and he said, Sandra, you don't have to stand in the line if you go to the Apple store. You can go right to the front.
You know what? That is not a bad thing.
Yeah, so that was respect. That was respect.
So in addition to your practice, and the YouTube sort of, and really social media, not just YouTube, but social media prominence. There's also the Pretty Pimple and there's the SLMD line.
Yes.
So those things could be right. scaled and could get attention from that. Tell us about those yeah. two things first.
So what really happened is that, so I have this Dr. Pimple Popper thing. I have this YouTube channel that was yeah. in the time before all this adpocalypse. I don't yeah. know, you know, yeah. know all yeah. that kind yeah. of stuff happening. And so we were generating an income from that. And we used that. So I was thinking, you know, what am I doing? I mean, am I just going to be popping pimples for my whole life? I mean, what is this going? And, you know, I realized that let me use this to sort of, you know, show people how amazing dermatology is and what amazing specialty it is, but also be able, now I have this platform to kind of show people or teach people how to take better care of themselves, yeah. their skin, and also be aware of skin conditions. You know, I think there's a lot of misinformation. You know, we all Google something if you sure. have something on you and you get scared to death usually, you know, yeah. About what you read. And so you never really know what's right out there. So to be able to do that and to be able to sort of fund all this, you know, starting this skincare line that we have, because now we have that, that's really kind of the way to reach more people than people, you know, that are only able to drive to see you, you right, know, or right. travel to see you. That's the opportunity to use this exposure and this reputation that you can develop as a physician here, as a dermatologist, to reach people. Absolutely. And so that's really what the skincare line too is about. And that started about a year ago, where, you know, I'm trying to actually create a line that's different than other plastic surgeons or dermatologist physicians. It's one that I want to specifically be known to bridge the gap between actually seeing a dermatologist and the vast majority of people who cannot see a dermatologist and are just confused about what to use. I mean, these are all products that sure. I would prescribe or recommend to my own patients. So I'm trying to educate people in my videos on what they should use or understand what their condition is and then hopefully provide products.
Because it's not a one size fits all. We don't yes. have a something on our face or wherever right. on our body that needs help. You go to right. the drugstore, you go to Target, you go to whatever, and it's kind of, there's a one mm-hmm. size fits all. And you're saying, no, there's yes. other ways depending on what that need is to remedy that.
Yes. And I think for me, at least, I'm very into control. Like I know I'm a very, I have to have things a certain way that I like to be able to, you know, just function. And I think that that's important for a lot of people. And my patients, even when I see in the office, if they have a feeling of a sense of control, because a lot of times if you have acne, you just feel helpless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have the knowledge and you feel like you understand what this is, this a pimple versus a blackhead or why this medication works, you're more inclined to use the medications and probably feel better
yeah.
and proud about the outcome that you did something to yeah. make it better.
Absolutely. And then, so that specifically is the SLMD
That's
line.
The SLMD
so tell us about your pretty, other platform, yeah. which is the Pretty Pimple platform.
Well, the Pretty Pimple, they all sort of work together to, the Pretty Pimple is more of a blog or mm-hmm. or an informative website and really to help establish, you know, to provide articles that are still fun for the mm-hmm. millennials or people who are interested in reading these articles and still teach them about their skin, but teach them the things that I know to be true, you know, or based on fact, at least, you know, yeah. as a trained dermatologist. So, so that really helps to reinforce the fact, you know, that maybe I'm an expert at that. And that helps to, you know, I think it all works together.
Absolutely. I mean, as you sort of line things up, it's like, okay, they come to you through mm-hmm. the video, like they see this video, then there's an opportunity to get even more information through the Pretty Pimple. Then there's an opportunity to get product and then they can even come to you if they want to. Yeah. So it's like, there's sort of this very direct path right. to Dr. Sandra Lee at the end of the day.
Yeah, I suppose so, but that's a lot of pressure.
You know what? I think what's cool about this is, and I don't know if you had ever intended to have the line mm-hmm. of product. I mean, it would be very natural for a dermatologist to mm-hmm. develop a line, but that you actually came at it from, I have an audience, I have a following, I have a group of the market, a segment of the market that is now a fan.
Right.
So I'm not trying to make fans because I have product. I have fans. Right. And they came to me without any, I wasn't selling yes. anything. Yes. And now it sort of bridges the gap between we trust you, we're willing to buy from you. So you've sort of jumped a very major hurdle for most brands.
But I was lucky. So that was the lucky part that, you
know. Well, you were lucky, but.
Well, I worked at it.
You knew it was an opportunity to jump and you seized that, which is, I think, when most people miss their luck, right? There are opportunities and then they don't know how to take advantage of them. What, when you came up with the line and you first came out with it, were people like, finally, we have access to her. Like we have a way to put our or get our hands around something that
I think so.
But Dr. Pimple Popper provides.
I mean, that happened too. I think the first thing we sold were really comedone extractors. You know, okay, we had merchandise. That's the instrument that I used to pop blackheads, and I thought that was the obvious. And it's interesting because in the beginning here, you know, not telling my husband or my father, but even other people that I would work with in dermatology, they didn't really still understand. Like I was talking to one of our, you know, providers of instruments and I was like, I want 1,000 comedone extractors with my name. And he's like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. like they don't understand. But I knew, I just had this feeling that like people who watch these, I mean, they're going to see me use this instrument and it looks so easy, you know, and it can be difficult, but it can be easy when you have great blackheads, you know, but you know, it gets people wanting these things. And I thought, you know, if I can provide, they want to be this person. They wish they were me doing this. So you provide
them things. I imagine there's some people who are gathering their friends in the living room for like a blackhead like party. Because they get this from you. They feel like they've been trained by you.
Yes, yes.
Do you ever have to say like, don't do this at
Absolutely.
Home? You do?
Absolutely. But I said, but you know what? I get the cutest things out of little kids, like 2-year-old, 3 or 4, and playing Dr. Pimple Popper or asking, I want to watch Dr. Pimple Popper. Like there are so many young kids because the mother, I think, the woman's into it and the kid watches it and they get obsessed with it. And I think that's adorable.
That is adorable, actually. Did you understand prior to all this what social media could be for you? Or was this sort of a hobby that your husband would have been like, what are you doing? That you just enjoyed and thought, oh, look, I'm getting some traction. I mean, most of the time people come out that with some intention.
Yeah. If that were to ever happen at any point, I knew I was going to jump on it. But I don't think that obviously it doesn't happen for the vast majority of people. So my intention is just like everybody else. You want to have followers. You just want to have fun with it. You want it to be interesting. I went to go see somebody to color my hair because I saw him on Instagram and I immediately go, oh my gosh, I love his hair. I want to go see him. You know, that is sort of the same motivation that probably people see me. They see my stuff and they go, I want to see her. And so I had that same thing happen to me. And I went, this is before I started my Instagram, and I went to see him and he had like 1 million followers or whatever. And I just thought, why can't I do this? I think I have something that you don't see on social media that is there's a smaller group of people that you're competing against to try to get, you know, seen and try to get, you know, attention. Right. Now, all that being said, there's also another whole side here where it was hard in the beginning. I almost got kicked out multiple times from Instagram, from YouTube especially, because my videos, people didn't understand that they were educational and they felt that they were for shock value, you know, like just
being
gory.
But why would YouTube kick you out for that, if it was?
It's actually a little bit complicated. Okay. Back then, they weren't kicking me out.
Oh.
What was happening is apparently there were like these pirates, like people in other countries that steal your videos, put strikes on your account. They get bots to like say like this is bad, you know, and then you get strikes upon your account. And once you get 3 strikes, you're out.
I see.
So there were multiple times I'd get 1 strike, even 2 strikes that would immobilize my account. And you can't touch these people. They're out. Who knows where they are?
You don't know where they are. And so they're doing that. And then
that was what they're
creating
doing.
Room for themselves to go do something similar.
Yeah. Yes. And then now I have a new, so they want to take over my account and pretend there's a lot of fakes in my account. You know, they try to take over and take the views. And it's changed now because now they've been a lot harder with the ads. And now I have other issues more, you know, directly with YouTube, actually. Yeah. But more with that because it's unfair that they consider my videos to be not ad friendly when sometimes I do collaborations with other big, you know, YouTube channels, and they show my parts of my video and they're ad friendly, like or TLC, which I'm doing a show with. They'll show videos and it'll be ad friendly. So I just feel it's not fair. It's not right. But that's a whole nother story.
But it's interesting because that's made you sort of this social media like pioneer.
I learned a lot
as well. Like how do we, and because this is such the wild, wild west, these rules don't exist. So it takes people like you who have to kind of push up against and say, well, wait a minute, what are we really saying here? And that's an inconsistent statement that you're making. Mm-hmm. And so how do we fight that? So you've taken, you're like championing.
I think I just got lucky too.
Championing.
Yeah, it has been so different. And it continues to change. You know, they change the algorithm all the time. Sure. And you just have to, everybody eventually learns their way sort of around it, or, you know, it's complicated.
But even so, you've got 3.7 million followers.
Yeah.
So you talked about your engagement, and I want to talk about that for a second, because I think a lot of people get confused, right? They think it's all about the total number versus how often these people come back, how engaged these people are, how long they stick with you in terms of a session. What do you think it is about a new extraction and a new pimple popping and a new...
I mean, I think it's just, if you ask a popaholic, they'll tell you that it just gets them, they want to share this feeling. Yeah. They want to share this feeling with friends. Even somebody who can't stand it, they tag three friends. Like, can you believe this? What is this thing? You know?
Right.
It's just something that you sort of share with people, maybe like a car, you know, a car accident or something. You can't sort of look away.
Everybody's sort of rubbernecking or wanting to see what's over there.
Yeah, I think that is real. I mean, that's ultimately how it grew so quickly in the beginning, certainly.
So you're not necessarily having to tell additional stories. It's like the continuous.
No, what's interesting is, in a way, I'm a YouTuber, but I'm a YouTuber not in the sense that I have to think up a new storyline and an adventure every day. These are people who come to me. So it's like I'm doing my job anyways, other than telling my staff to bring in the camera, you know, and like take a video of it at the same time. So so in that way, it was good, because I was able to still continue doing my regular job, but then I had this another job on top. But now that I'm so lucky it's gotten big, now it's like another real job.
I was going to say,
it's like two jobs.
You have four jobs.
I do.
So basically, you spent some time in a lab coat trying to come up with the formulas for the product line. Then you've got this information for the blog that you're putting out. Then you're this sort of personality for the YouTube channel. And then you have your practice as a doctor.
You're stressing me out.
I'm sorry. I'm stressing out. But it's a lot. I'm sure you're blocking time. And maybe we'll get into that in the second half where you're sort of giving us advice. But I'm sure there's a way that you've figured out that you're managing it.
I don't know. I mean, I think I do it. And I have the energy to do it because I actually love it more so that I just love the accomplishment behind it. You know, it's just so amazing. It's just so fascinating to me too. I'm not a true popaholic myself. I do not need to pop people's pimples. I don't feel compelled. I don't like to watch other people's videos. Don't send me anyone's videos. I get sweaty and anxious and I can't
look at them.
So
that's the control part. You know, it's your hands or your instrument. Yes. You know what the outcome is going to be.
I know it's safe and sterile and nobody's in pain. And that's the only way that I can deal with it, really. I can't watch somebody else doing it. It's been hard. It's actually been really hard this year. I just finished filming like my first set of TLC. I have a show on TLC from all this. It's like crazy. And I have a book coming out too, which is also insane. I mean,
when's the book coming
happened?
Out?
What is this? I don't really get what's going on here. I don't. It's all from pimple popping. And it's coming out, I think, around the holidays.
Okay. Let us know. And
of
then
course,
we'll share it with our audience.
That's lovely. Thank you. And, so all, especially the show, it was especially stressful because guess what? It's me losing some control.
Yeah.
That was the hard thing for me, because it's not just me. There's other people there depending on what this is going to look like and what happens, you know, what transpires with my patient interaction. And and I can't control it, you know? Sure. I can't control it so much. I can't say, we're not going to film this one, or we're not going to, you know? So that was very hard for me. I'm just recovering now. It's been a week.
Yeah.
I've just come back to normal. Long. I was sick, too, at the same time, gosh. So that didn't help. But yeah.
What do you think they saw in... I mean, obviously the numbers speak mm-hmm. for themselves, but what it, you need more, you need story. So I think one of the things I wanted to say when you were talking about going to the guy who did your hair, who had the mm-hmm. million followers, is that it is the pimple popping and the phenomena around that, but it's also you. It's people feeling comfortable with you. It's people feeling like they're gaining some expertise. Mm-hmm. You talked about your voice and it's mm-hmm. very calming and soothing. And so... what do you think TLC saw? What was the story behind the pimple popping? Because you just can't, otherwise it's just the YouTube channel repeated.
Right. I think the TLC channel is different. The TLC show is different. It is showing, on my videos, you really don't see my face mm-hmm. very much at all, if mm-hmm. if at all. You might not even know who I was, just my voice, people right. hear. And this shows more behind the scenes. This TV shows, it follows the patients. So you see how nice. They are before dealing with it, maybe in their home,
yeah.
and then coming out, and then getting nervous about coming to see me. And so, like, I'm sort of a part of it. I'm not like the main, I mean, I'm the person who's going to potentially change something here,
sure.
but I'm not like the whole, it's a lot of that is about the people. And I think people actually, when it first aired, I was freaking out. Like again, this is like me, no control. And I thought, oh my God, this is going out. Are people going to like it? Is this ridiculous? Like, I mean, what was I thinking? and people liked it. Like it got, I think it beat their top show like the first night. And the first night that it aired, and it aired again the second night, and it did as well the second night. And they said the attrition level was really low, meaning I think that means that people would watch it and they wouldn't leave, or people would come on in halfway and they would stay till the end. Yeah. So
it sounds like a very human story.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody yes. has dealt with on some level, whether it's acne or just something about mm-hmm. their physical self that mm-hmm. they don't like.
And you may like it too, because there's not much popping.
Okay, see, I'm going to check it out.
There's nothing much, not really detailed. It's interesting because people, one article that reviewed it said... that I thought that was really interesting. They said that in this day and age where we have reality shows where you try to create problems, you know, people mm-hmm. are doing fine and you try to create drama, mm-hmm. that this is the opposite. It's like something that is very dramatic yeah. and you're actually trying to make it normal.
Yeah.
And I treat it like it's normal. That's one thing that I do that I think people appreciate. I don't see someone go, what is that? What is that huge thing on your head? Or, oh yeah. my God, you know, I can't, like, that's crazy what you're living with. I treat them like that, you know, that's what they have. And I don't act like they are, you know, I don't make them feel embarrassed for what yeah. they have. And, I think that was part of what people like in the show. It's almost like in this day and age right now with all this craziness we have everywhere yeah. that people almost want something crazy to become normal. Yeah. They just want something to you know? So
yeah.
that I think it was very interesting way to look at this. And I think that's why maybe it also, again, the planets align. I think this is happening at a time when people are maybe looking for that or didn't know they were looking for that. And they realize that it gives them a lot of satisfaction.
It was in front of them. So I want to go to the, and we all have to tune in. Do you know the night that's on?
That is shown, it started, the first showing was January 3rd.
Okay.
That's a special. I'm sorry. There was okay. a special. That
so
was the
we'll
first
do,
one.
We'll
now it's
post
going,
that
the series
show notes.
Is going to be in okay. July. I'm still taping. We're still okay. taping episodes. So
okay.
we have 12 episodes. I've done
that's
four.
Exciting. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You've got some more to
exciting
go.
Exciting is the word.
Okay. We'll give okay. you a break, a stress level break.
Okay.
So this is another maybe stressful
okay.
thing.
That's okay.
In the skincare industry, and it is an industry that a lot of people try and get into because of the margins, right? But it's really hard when you're competing for space. I mean, the margins can be great, but if there's so much on the shelf and so much at these dermatological offices, dermatological, mm-hmm. did I
dermatology,
say that? Dermatology.
Dermatology.
Yeah.
Either way.
So I want to talk to you about how you have taken the product outside of the fame that you've, you know, or the fan base that is automatically going to try and use the product. How have you taken that same product and offered it to people who don't know you as Dr. Pimple Popper?
How have I done that? I mean, I feel like,
did I mention the book? And
maybe
the
I should do that.
No.
Okay. I think all of this, that is really why I sort of agreed to do this TLC thing, for example. I didn't really want to do this. This was not what I was seeking out. And I mean, I'm so lucky, first of all, I should say that. I'm so lucky to have this offer, of course, and to have this opportunity. But that really wasn't what I wanted to do. But I knew that by increasing our exposure to other people, it's going to obviously increase their exposure, their interest in SLMD and in my skincare line.
And like you just said, like when you were pointing at me and you were saying, you might not be a papaholic, but you will like the show because there's this kind of human element.
Yeah.
So that's a new audience that can come and participate in your reading the blog or buying the product.
And I think that the demographics too, the people that watch my videos, 75% of them are female and they're in that age range that everybody wants, that, you know, 18 to 33, 18 to 40, even 18 to 50. That is the kind of the
sweet spot.
Yes, that's what everybody is looking for. And I think that I know that a lot of people that are maybe papaholics, in other words, there's a papaholic in almost every group. You can't, there are not groups of papaholics.
Papaholic in all of us.
There is. There is somebody there. Yeah. It's interesting. It crosses all, you know, religion, ethnicity, you know, region. And so I feel like if I can reach that person is going to tell their friends.
Sure.
And that's kind of like how it spreads, I think, too. So, you know, if this papaholic, for example, has a niece that has acne,
you'll automatically
this acne line, and I think you should try. You trust it. And it's not just acne. That's the beginning of the SLMD line, by the way.
What do you have for aging? Do you have something for age?
We may have other things
soon. Okay, well, let's talk about that after the show.
Okay.
Okay. So are you selling that product line exclusively through your own site, or can it be purchased elsewhere?
We are at this point. It's all on our own site. And I think a lot of people do that right now. And I understand. So no, I don't have a business degree. I never taken a business class in my life. Yeah. So I can't really speak with your terms with all your abbreviations. I don't even know. I have to stop you if you start talking to me about that because I don't even know what those things mean. But I see it. It's more like I'm the kind of the concept person or the person that has sometimes crazy ideas that people scoff up, but sometimes I have ideas that they're like, oh, that's a really good idea, you know, like, and I think maybe because I'm outside of that box, maybe I
was going to say
that.
You have the ability to think outside of the box. You're not restricted by, well, we can't do that. You're like, well, why can't we?
But I understand though that, you know, I think if you have, you know, I think we have interest in, you know, being in Target or Sephora or Ulta or those sorts of stores. But I guess there's differences with that, right? Because then the margins are lower and you have to have product there.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of product.
Or QVC or, you know.
And the buybacks can be painful if it's a buyback issue. So we've heard people tell sort of those horror stories. And that's not to say that there aren't great opportunities franchises
absolutely.
And those stores. But that, you know, hanging on to your own brand and the ability that you have to sell direct to consumer is huge.
Yes.
It's huge.
But, and one thing that's interesting, I was just reading today, one of the big skincare lines, Rodan and Fields, did you read this? And I think it was just recently, they are having, somebody's maybe getting a minority stake in it. And they were talking about that company and saying that, there's a lot of companies that are looking for skincare lines where they are only doing direct marketing. They're trying to actually snatch those up, which I found interesting. You know, just the strategy is different. And, you know, their strategy is different, what they're doing. They do sort of that pyramid thing, you know?
Yeah. Which would be
like, I don't know.
I
call it something else. I'm sorry. Don't put that in there.
No. I think we all understand that. Like we hear that and we understand like, oh, okay, how does that work? How are they distributing their goods?
Right.
Is it through homes and other women?
Right.
Are they
over
the counter?
Because I do. And I've thought about that because I do have these like millennials that listen, and they, why wouldn't they want to make an extra
have a college
dollar?
Ambassador selling the
right?
product.
That would be cool. Yeah. Get a trip to Turks and Caicos if they sell the, you know, or something like that. I mean,
I can be a college ambassador. It would be weird to get on campus. But anyway, yeah. Like that Melissa McCarthy
I could
movie
just
that's
see you
coming
showing
out.
Your acne line. Let me show you my acne, this acne line.
Yeah, I love it.
But you know, it's fascinating to me though, because this is not what I do, and it's kind of fun. It's like a less stress on me because I have my day job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the everything is on this.
It's not all hinged on this particular thing working out.
I still have my day job. I still go back to that.
Well, that's an interesting lesson, because basically what you're saying is, in having the freedom to do that, I can be more creative and maybe even innovative. So for those of us who don't have that day job, it's a good lesson to know, hey, if we use that freedom to think outside of the box, and to not hang on so tightly, perhaps that more unique or innovative opportunity will come to mind. So I want to ask you something really quickly before we transition into the sort of getting all the goods out of you as an expert. But what's been the hardest part, do you think? You said you don't have a business degree. You don't come from that. You're clearly a business-minded person. What do you think has been the hardest part of launching this to date? Launching everything outside of your practice, everything you didn't know. And then what would you say is the hardest part in running it and keeping up with all of it?
Well, I think, running it or even launching it, I can't do this alone. I mean, this is not up to me. I have to work. I'm seeing, you know, for example, what I did actually is my brother is in business.
Yeah.
And so I actually hired him. He runs my Dr. Pimple Popper sort of business headquarters, and that's all in Culver City in Los Angeles. And so I work in my office, and because he's my brother, I can yell at him sometimes, like, why are you giving me this? I got to do this. He tells me, you know, I got to do this promotion, or I got to do, you know, this or that, or, you know, with that. And I'm working and I'm busy, and my work is, you know, even though a dermatologist's life is not necessarily as stressful as other physicians' lives, it's still like people are depending on you and they have, you know, and so it's very stressful to me sometimes. And so I bring on all this stress. And so the hardest part for me is to, and the nice thing is it's my brother and I trust him and I know he's doing great and he's done so great for the company, but I sort of have to let that go. And, you know, and again, that's my control thing. But I also know I can't do it. Like, I don't have the business. I mean, I understand concepts, but I can't go and meet people and do, you know, I can't do any of those things. I can't, you know, we have a whole big staff there. I can't, I can't do all these. But it's actually been interesting because it's a different staff that I didn't really know. You know, millennials are wonderful, but they work in a totally different way than I'm used to working. And it's just really interesting seeing. But they're so, creative and just, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kind of thing. And so it's really
invigorating.
And
really, they understand the digital space in a different way.
And they are the people that I'm trying to tap into, really. And they understand themselves. Sure. They understand what they're looking for.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you happy?
Okay,
I just heard this the other day. It was an interview with Oprah, and they said something about how she has the ability to be, I'm going to misquote it, but it was, she has the ability to basically organize all these things and be on top of it. And she said, oh no, basically you're mistaken. I have the ability to put people around me that know how to do all these things so I can be alone with my thoughts. And
That's nice.
Oh, who are those people? And how do we get them? And
I would like to be more alone with my thoughts.
Yeah. that we can hire all those people.
Yes.
But I thought,
you do have to delegate. You do have to learn how to do that. And, you know, but it is hard. It is hard. It's like the hardest thing. I don't know how, the hardest thing is just being able to manage all these things for me and really feel like I have the time, because I have a family too. I have two kids. Sure. I have my husband. I have my friends.
Myself,
my sanity. And I have been burning the candle at both ends. It's been hard, but part of it is I sort of like that. I was not a type AAA when I was a kid. I don't know how I got there, but I am there. That's what I am.
Cross the finish line. The triple A finish line.
That's the kind of person that I've become all of a sudden. I look at myself and...
Well, we're going to try and get all that wisdom out in the second half of the interview. So basically now, thank you for sharing your story. I think it's really interesting to see how you've been able to really sort of not just create all these roles for yourself, but for a brand that has a life that's bigger than you and can serve tons of people. What would you say to a listener who has a brick and mortar and is trying to figure out, I don't want to just be a local cupcake shop. I don't want to, I want to somehow serve a wider audience. How do you recommend they really try and amass a more national following based on your history and what you know to be true?
Well, first of all, I should say that I don't know if you have to decide whether you really are you wanting this more national audience just to have the numbers, to have the followers, or are you actually think you're going to get business from them? See, for me, example, you know, we do a lot of cosmetic dermatology in my office, a lot of Botox and fillers, but I wouldn't expect somebody to travel from New York to get Botox and fillers with me. So if that is your company, if you're a provider that's only providing those sorts of things, I mean, how are you going to differentiate yourself from other people that like thousands of people between you and them, that they're going to not choose and choose you instead. So I don't know. There must be something magical about pimple popping that makes them come that far. But that's the thing. I think that what it was is I sort of realized that I had to differentiate myself. I mean, when I first started, there weren't a lot of dermatologists or surgeons or any doctors on the internet doing this. But I really sought... I mean, that's why it's Dr. Pimple Popper. That's why it's not just Sandra Lee, MD, dermatology. You know, I've always felt that for somebody to really kind of get big, you sort of it's very helpful to have something that differentiates you. You know, like I've given people an example, instead of a chef, be like the naked chef, you know, or something that's going to make you different. And those are the sorts of things that we like, that were interesting, you know, not just someone who does cooking, but the really tiny kitchen where you cook it on a really small scale or something, you know,
or with only five ingredients or whatever.
Right.
I really like what you said about, are you amassing this audience just for the sake of it? Or is there something you're wanting to do with it? And perhaps that ends up informing
you do it. Yeah. Because if you're thinking that is going to get you more money or more income, not necessarily. I mean, somebody's not going to travel that far. You're still depending on this fan base that is within driving, you know, that you're close enough that they can get to.
So I'm going to switch a little bit over to the skincare line. There are people that are listening that probably are tinkering right now in their kitchen with some sort of formula, some sort of oil, some sort of something to put on their face, and they'd love to one day be able to package it and sell it. What's a precaution that you would like to share with our listeners who are thinking about that? It could be legal, it could be medical, it could be just creating the formula and having it, you know, trademarked and copyrighted. And, you know, what is the thing that you want to say to them? Hey, watch out for this.
I'm going to defer to Oprah. What she said.
No,
what she said. Yeah. I cannot. My head will implode if I have to think of all those things too. I need somebody to help me. Now, I'm going to be somebody that is involved and I'll tell you, I want this sort of thing.
You know, or I want that sort of thing you want, but how to get from A to B, bring on somebody
person,
to do it.
Namely, my brother better figure out, you know, better make sure that's not going to be
a little brother or a big brother?
A little brother.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I have little brothers.
He knows too.
I could tell, even though he might be
and
bigger.
And I need to sometimes I feel bad because sometimes I just like, because he's my brother and the next minute I love him, you know? You know what I mean? It doesn't.
Of course. So really, it sounds like finding the experts around you that can help you navigate some of those waters, especially the legal waters, the medical waters, the how to get it on the shelf waters, how to distribute it. Okay, that's helpful. And then, you know, no longer can we talk about social media being an option. It really is something that perhaps you figure out which platform is more meaningful based on your demographic. If you have an older demographic, maybe Facebook is the place to go. If you're more news-focused, maybe Twitter is the way to go. If you're super visual and there's some more story, then maybe Instagram or YouTube. Mm-hmm. But we really have to stay in that game. and brands have to do that.
Yeah, you know what I've said? Well, specifically, I've told other physicians, I mean, this is what I believe. You know, I think like a generation ago when you were looking up doctors, you'd look in the yellow pages. Sure. You know, now
do those exist? I don't even know. Yeah. No.
Now we look at Yelp or we Google them. Yeah. And I think in the near future, people are going to expect that you have a social media page. They want to know what you look like. They want to know how you speak, what kind of patients you treat, your before and afters. They're going to see your office. You know, they're going to sort of expect that. And I think that's the
kind of a way to pre-vet you.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say for you, knowing that you had mainly a millennial audience through the YouTube channel in particular, what did you try and focus on in terms of, it's really hard to focus on all social media, you know, from Pinterest to Twitter to YouTube. Was it intentional to say, I'm really going to focus on Instagram and YouTube?
No, it wasn't really intentional. It was more where I was interested in myself, what I was comfortable with. And I think that they just worked well for it. I mean, I think Instagram really worked well for what I was doing, the way that they would, I mean, they were more specific. If you liked or, you know, that way they worked, if you liked something, it increased your visibility.
Sure.
If you tagged people, it increased your visibility. Sure. And that was all what it was all about. People, it was inciting some kind of feeling in people and they were sharing it with their friends.
It was almost like the mechanism was intrinsic to what you were showing, and
yes,
so therefore it built.
Other than the fact that we were the only people with like cysts exploding on their Instagram, right next to you know, food videos and things like that. That was the problem. You know what actually happened is interestingly. I mean, I almost got kicked out a few times because they would say this is graphic content, and you got warnings, you know, whatnot.
Wait a
actually,
minute.
There were other
That's
doctors.
Graphic content, but I've seen some crazy stuff.
Hey, this is my life, right? Get on my side then. Get on my side.
I am on your side.
But I'd
much rather my 10-year-old and 14-year-old and 12-year-old run into Dr. Pimple Popper than some of the other stuff I have to try and protect from.
It's crazy. And so it's sort of like a double standard. But interestingly, I think I got saved by Selena Gomez.
Okay. How did Selena Gomez save you, Dr. Sandra Lee? Tell us that story.
I wish I had met her. I've met her in real life because I would thank her. Because there was an interview and the CEO of Instagram was interviewing her and another celebrity and asking them, who do you think are the most creative, most creative Instagram page? And she mentioned my page. And all of a sudden, I was like, nothing could touch me anymore. Like all of a sudden, nobody. Yeah. I mean, knock on wood. Don't listen to this CEO of Instagram.
No.
But yes, Selena Gomez. That was one of the big ones. I mean, that was a nice thing too. Celebrities would see this and they'd mention it, you know.
Sure.
And again, like you never know when there's a popaholic in the bunch. You know, Lucy Hale just recently went on the Late Late Show and talked about her love of pimple popping, you know. And
oh my gosh.
Yes. So,
do you
know,
sell t-shirts?
Yes, we do. We have a Dr. Pimple Popper and Chill.
I
know.
Because
people watch it on Netflix. And then we have like Popaholics Unite. And oh my gosh, you have to see our socks. I always talk about our socks.
Okay, what are
our
your socks?
They're long socks.
Okay,
but hands.
Just for you listeners, we'll get an image of the socks and post it in the show notes.
But they're hands. And they're, so you put your feet up and you can pop someone's head. It's like a pimple. You just pop. Yeah.
They've Very thought cute. Of everything. And she says she's not a businesswoman. Okay, so you basically, in terms of the social media, you really look to see, this is what I'm comfortable using.
Yes.
My audience is in this space. And oh, look, it actually benefits us based on what we're trying to show.
Yeah.
So the advice there is to really take a look at that.
But I will say, Facebook has the most eyes on it. But this was all also before this sort of like Facebook fiasco.
Yeah.
And I feel like I almost like I saw, I mean, I didn't know that was coming, but I saw that. Because I could see like that they were allowing me to, if I promoted videos, I could tell like I want somebody that's 21 to 24 with blonde hair that likes, you know, race cars, or I could so specify it. And I just, I never trusted them completely. Like I just felt myself, like I... I didn't really like the, I don't know, it was just this feeling that I had. And so I didn't really get into Facebook. That's probably my, we have like about 2 million followers there, but we didn't really build that up so much. I still, I'm not wow. saying, but I think, Facebook, I had problems with in the beginning because, you know, and YouTube, it all started with YouTube where you could monetize things. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we used to pay for everything, you know, fund everything else. And you couldn't monetize on Facebook. And Facebook was, this was back in the day. It's like, so you see how many things have changed since then?
It is. And sort you of, couldn't back monetize in the day there. Is like 18 months ago.
Right.
Now. It used
right.
to be that it was yeah. like a 10 year window. But
and then
no
you,
longer.
What would happen if people would steal your videos yeah. and then they would put it on and, you know, and it wouldn't yeah. meet, wouldn't, would take away from it. Why, you know?
Sure.
So I didn't want to post videos there because I didn't want them to just take them and then Facebook gets money from it, not me.
It was a much easier platform to dilute your message on Facebook than it was. It'll be interesting to see what happens now yeah. and how they switch things up. So we've talked about how busy you are. We were all exhausted. We all took, there's four of us in the room. We took a sigh of relief when we talked about all the things you're doing. What apps, platforms, organizational tools do you use to sort of keep yourself both sane and on top of things?
You mean things that don't have to do with
yeah.
Dr. Pimple Popper?
Just an app on your phone about your, with your calendar. Or
guess what I do?
Okay. If you say pen and paper, are you going to say pen
no,
and paper?
No, no. Oh, I was going to high five you anyway.
No, because no. I still do the pen and paper thing.
But I
learned to transfer everything to it.
No, I thought you were talking about what games I like to play.
Oh, what games
like
do you play? Well, we haven't heard that.
It's so funny because I play games that...
Like on your phone?
That, yes, I. That's how I unwind. And I have to play yes. games that are time management games where I am trying to organize. That's what I do.
Because
oh
you really
weird?
Do have like an yeah, like a like a
maybe.
Control.
No, it's that. But that's
but what
I,
is it?
I like
what
to
is
juggle
it?
Like trying to do a bunch of things and making sure everything comes out right.
But that's
part
that's
of
your
what
life.
I, yeah,
I mean, that's your
so
life.
It's sort of like. I don't know why I like that. That's really weird. I like to multitask. I like to do
yeah.
that. You know, they say you can't do it as well. You can't do each thing as well. But I think that was a man running that study, you know?
I don't know.
I love it.
So is there something that you do or somebody that you have in place that helps keep you organized?
Yes. I mean, I have assistants and okay. I have my staff at work that yeah. know me well and that, know what I
and
need.
And how do you
what
all communicate? Is there any sort of online, do you guys use a tool?
No, it's old school. Yes, we talk to each other. But you know, what's interesting is as a female, I think, you know, my husband works with me. We're both work there, but, he's the boss with certain things and I'm the boss of certain uh-huh. things sort of. And I feel the trouble is for me is I get too vested in because I'm more of a dance a female, you know, I care about, I want to know about their lives. And I'll ask my husband about his assistant. So did you know she had a baby? He's like, I didn't even know. I don't know.
I didn't know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, something like that. It's like crazy. You know, he doesn't yeah. know. I didn't know she got married, you know, or something yeah. like that. And I mean, like, I know those things because, but it affects, you know, your relationship with people. I'm sure you guys see that, you know, because it's, you care about them and it there's just a, but it's nice. I mean, I feel like I'm almost like their mother, you know, because we spend a lot of time with each other, you know, and I don't know, I'm going kind of off subject here, but you know, I think it's just a difference in the way that we manage sort of.
Do you keep your own calendar or does somebody keep
it? No, I have my own calendar and my assistant is
with me. Is it digital?
It is. It's like iCalendar or something like that.
Okay, great.
Wow, awesome. Is there something better? See, maybe I don't know.
I use iCalendar.
Okay. Or Google. No, I use Google Calendar.
I used to use Google Calendar and it was too hard to invite millions of people into it.
I don't invite people. Private calendar.
Well, I need to know what my kids are doing all the time.
Okay.
So, statistically, we keep hearing about how women are outpacing men in terms of starting up businesses. Did you mm-hmm. know that?
No, I didn't know
fact.
That.
Mm-hmm. But we're also failing at record pace. And I believe it's just because we don't have the history. We don't have the history, the scaffolding, the boys' clubs, all the things that men seem to have to support one another. And we also don't have as much access to funds. In terms of mm-hmm. Angel and venture money, and that's changing. Thankfully, that's changing. Do you have any thoughts on why you think that might be true?
for me, and maybe it, I don't know if it's the specialty I'm in or the, though I'm a surgeon and probably more people feel that men would be surgeons. I've never felt that I was different because I was female. I never went, so I almost feel like becoming, it's almost like to me, that's just what it is. I mean, there's just, I don't know if I would judge somebody. I don't judge myself thinking that I'm less, I can't do something because I'm female. I never, ever think that. So I think, and I feel that's the way kind of it should be. I mean, I don't think that, I don't feel that I'm treated different. I don't feel that anyone ever says that either. In my videos, I don't say, can you believe she's a female and she does this? Like, or that I've never thought that I couldn't reach somewhere because I was female. And so, but do I don't know why that would happen. I would think maybe because more of them are you know, getting into business in themselves, that they have a high, the more of them are failing, just the same number, but there's more female.
There is that, to be sure.
I don't know. I mean,
statistically, that's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know why that. Do you think that there is a, that they feel like they don't have the camaraderie, the support?
I think there's a lot of things that are at play. I think you make a good point in terms of sheer numbers. I think the support is not there in the same way. It's totally changing. In the last 5 years, it's changed incredibly with the onslaught of coaches and consultants and bloggers who were talking about things to do. I also think there's a little bit of a, let me tinker with this little thing and call it my business, and they're not really pouring themselves into it. Or they're doing it very part-time because they have other
responsibilities.
Yes. And so I think there's a lot of things at play. I think there's a social conditioning. I don't, you know, this is my side thing. This mm-hmm. is my hobby that, oh, maybe I'll try and monetize it. And I think they're getting more and more serious about, no, I want to make this my career. I want to do something here that that I can pour myself into. And then they need the scaffolding to pour themselves into that if they're a mother and they've taken on that role full time.
Yeah, maybe they don't devote their energy to it completely because they feel like it's like an easy way out. Like you can say, well, I actually, you know, I am a mother. I have, you know, I have other responsibilities. So I can't get into this fully, or it's okay because I'm not going to put all energy because I have this other, I have to do.
I suspect we will see in the next 10 years a dramatic shift mm-hmm. in those numbers, that we will see women who are more scaffolded. It is very exciting. It is very exciting. Okay, parting entrepreneurial advice. What do you want to say to our listeners? Like, hey, go out and do your own thing, but, or go for it because whatever. A warning, positive wisdom.
I mean, recognize opportunities when you can, I would say, you know, make sure, you know, if you see a little spark of something or have an idea, you know, act on it, try it out. I mean, I think, and be likely too, you'll be passionate about that then. Yeah. And you'll really, you know, it'll light a fire in you and you'll want to do something, you know, want to make that bigger. That's what I would say. I think, you know, I always like kind of joke, because you know, for a dermatologist, for me as a physician in general, there's a ceiling you hit because you are the rate limiting step. Mm-hmm. You can only make as much money, if we're talking about money, as you can work.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of joked, but also been in jest, you know, when I was, you know, for the last many years, that I would like to make money when I sleep. Like, how can you make money when you sleep? You know, what can you do that you can generate something where I don't physically have to be there? Because that's really what it's all about. So a lot of doctors hire other physician extenders, or, you know, they do that sort of thing. And, you know, I just thought, when I saw this, I thought, this is a way that you can generate something when you sleep. You know, I can post video. This is stuff I have at work. I'm doing it right. I have to do that. And why don't I, if I can create videos or I can create this content that can generate something while I'm not even around, I don't even have to look at it or I have to do anything. I can eat potato chips while I watch TV, watch Real Housewives or something at the same time. That's fabulous. And then that's how it kind of really kind of started. And then I realized this is a thing. Let me see what we can do with it. You know, that's really kind of
my takeaway from this is you are in fact, a great business person. And the fact that you're
saying, means so much to me.
The fact that you're able to say those two things and that you understand, you understood that there was an opportunity on YouTube and you jumped on that. And then the fact that you were able to say, how do I create not only reoccurring income, but how do I figure out how to scale who I am and what I have to offer? And
see, I don't really know what scale means.
It means exactly what you said. Now, scale doesn't mean grow. A lot of people think that scale just means to grow. Well, you can grow your business as a solopreneur doing the same thing over and over and hiring lots of people. Mm-hmm. Scale is really the ability to massively distribute, create, produce everything with an equal margin. It's the ability to take that on. So your scale mechanism is going to be your product.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's your product, right? Because there's only so many of you. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And your YouTube could be if the YouTube platform was slightly different in terms of ad rates and things like that. But for you, it's really the product.
Yeah, and for me too, when you're saying that it is me, that is a little bit of what I'm a little concerned about. I don't want it all to be about me as much because I feel that makes the responsibility too heavy on me, you know, that I have to, again, it's going back to me being there, me being present, or me having you know, so that's what I'm trying to, that's the step that I'm trying to kind of
Well, and you
out.
Trying to do it, you've taught us all a lesson through this podcast.
You guys taught me about scale.
No, it's awesome. So we do this thing, we end all our podcasts with this fun thing we call the quick six. So I'm going to ask you six quick questions and just answer whatever comes to mind. Do you prefer a 9-to-5 or a flex schedule?
9-to-5.
Okay. Would you rather vacation in the mountains or on the beach?
The beach. But with sunscreen.
Okay. Well said. Well said from the dermatologist. Would you rather work at home or from an office?
If I worked at home, I would never wear underwear and I would have like Cheeto stains on my fingers. I have to get out. I cannot work from home.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks for that. That's hilarious. Do you like working alone or with a team?
I think I like both. Yeah. I mean, I definitely do things alone. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that can do it and I probably have a problem sometimes multitasking. But if you have a great team with you, like the people that I work with, I love working with them.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think this is the hardest question, but Thai or Mexican food?
Oh, that is hard. Well, my nationality is very close to Thai.
Okay.
So I definitely grew up on that similar food, but my best friend is Mexican and she's I love Mexican food too. So, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go with my family, though I love my friends.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me, Raquel. I love you, but I would have to go Thai.
Okay. I love it.
How about you? What do you like?
Thai. I mean, I love Mexican. I love Mexican, but there's something about all those flavors.
I feel like you have to give like vanilla versus rocky road or something. Because my husband would be vanilla.
Oh, but see, it'd be like
roast beef or something.
Too easy. Everyone has a problem with this. There are a few people that are just like, never mind. It's totally one or the other. Do you like it spicy?
I do like it spicy. Although very recently, because I watched YouTube, I've been on these kick with this mukbang. Do you know what mukbang?
Yeah.
Do you know about when people just eat and slip, people just watch people eating food? Sorry, I digress.
I'm so confused.
But I got obsessed with ramen. Kid, he's like, you're like a ramen aficionado right now. He made me laugh
because
he's like 11
places,
saying that. Yeah. But I got this 4X ramen and I realized I thought I could do spicy. I cannot do spicy. Okay. I had one bite
4X
of that.
4X is like a heat level?
I couldn't. I don't know what that means, but I could literally take one bite and I couldn't eat any of it. And I felt very bad about myself.
No, I know. I've done that before. We have a local Indian place and it's on a scale of 1 to 10, the heat level. And I said 10 and they're like, are you sure? And I was like, that's
Indian spicy. That's a whole nother level.
Of course I ate it all because my whole family was watching and I had to do it. And I was like sweating but wow, did I have serious
shakes.
Oh my gosh, what have I done to my body?
But I
still do like it spicy.
You do. I like it spicy too, but that was too, too spicy.
Yeah, there is a too spicy. At some point, you're not tasting anything. It's just right.
Have you also seen this other YouTube channel? I got it. Mm-hmm. Hot Ones?
No, are we?
Oh, this is really interesting. This guy has all these buffalo wings, and he interviews like celebrities.
Okay,
and he does it with increasingly hot spices. And so, it decreases your inhibitions. They're sweating, and then they're just like, I gotta answer, you know. And it's interesting.
Smart.
How they do that.
Smart. Uh-huh. Okay. Last question. So this podcast is called Liberty Sessions. Our URL is libertyforher.com. The brand is called Liberty, and it's because we are so excited and passionate about seeing women liberated through these entrepreneurial endeavors, through pursuing their venture, their calling. What does it mean for you, Dr. Sandra Lee, to be liberated?
Well, I don't really understand what this question is. I mean, I think you're saying as a female, being somebody that's more free and able to do whatever I want.
If it, as a for human. You goes from, right to the female thing, then
no,
I want to hear
I would
that.
Say yeah. I don't. It doesn't matter to me if I'm feeling. I am liberated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that. I feel liberated. I mean, yeah. I don't really.
Do you think it's through your work, your life, being a mother?
Something being satisfying or being like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy with how my life is going. And I know I'm on this journey and I'm still on this journey. And it's just fun. It's fun. And, you know, whatever it'll be, I still have my family and my friends and, and I still have my job as a dermatologist. I can go back to freezing warts and, cutting out cysts without the camera there.
Yeah.
But it's just a fun ride. I mean, this is just something that's come along and it's just making things interesting.
I love the perspective. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being with us. This was really fun. This was really fun.
Liberty Road is broadcast on all platforms, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, and more. If you like what you've heard, please follow, rate, and review Liberty Road on Apple Podcast and Spotify. It helps us to know if these episodes are inspiring and equipping you to move into your middle third with intention. Liberty Road is created by executive producer Netta Jones, supervising producer Elizabeth Windham, producer Julia Windham, and music by Jack Jones.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.